Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll be reading from 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5. We are in the midst of a sermon series through the books of Samuel, and this morning we find ourselves in 2 Samuel 5, but for the sake of context, we'll be reading 2 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 7, along with that. 2 Samuel 2, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." And now the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Thus, the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of 2 Samuel. The passage that is before us this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 5, is one that we have been anticipating for a long time. All the way back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God, through Samuel, anointed David to be king over all Israel. Yet it isn't until 2 Samuel chapter 5 that David finally becomes king over the entire nation. And if you look at the outline I have included in your bulletin this morning, you will see that 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5, is really the completion of a larger cycle of stories. What began in chapter 2, where David was anointed king of Hebron, or king of Judah at Hebron, as we read a moment ago, is completed in chapter 5 when David becomes anointed king over all of Israel, all 12 tribes. And in between, we have seen the war that has taken place so that David could come to this point. In the cycle of stories from chapter 2 all the way through chapter 5, we saw Abner make Ishbosheth king of the northern tribes. We saw the war take place between the house of David and the house of Saul, with Abner killing Asahel, Joab's brother. We saw in chapter 3 the Abner-Ishbosheth conflict over the concubine and Abner defecting to David's side. We read of Joab getting back at Abner by killing Abner by surprise and deception. And finally, Ishbosheth, son of Saul, is murdered, having no support any longer from Abner. The men of Benjamin murder him and bring his head to David. all through those stories of deception and murder, David has not been involved. David has been standing on the sidelines, trusting God and God's plan, and all of these things have taken place. In fact, when David receives the news that King Saul is dead, though Saul tried to kill him, he mourns. When David receives the news that the rest of Saul's sons are dead, he mourns. When David receives the news that Abner, general and commander of Israel, has died, David mourns. When he receives the news that Ishbosheth, son of Saul, has been beheaded, David has those who have committed this crime executed. David is not involved in his ascension to the throne. David is trusting God and God's plan. And finally, when we come to chapter 5, we reach the point where the tribes of Israel are recognizing David's qualifications as king. What are David's qualifications as king of Israel? Verse 1, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood." David's first qualification is that he is the same flesh and blood as the rest of Israel. He is one of the 12 tribes of the tribe of Judah. And according to the book of the law in Deuteronomy 17, the king of Israel had to be a king from their own brothers. He had to be a king of their own flesh and blood. Not a foreigner would rule Israel, but somebody that understood the covenant and understood their faith and trust in God. So the tribes of Israel, having recognized in David that he is their own flesh and blood, come to him and they're ready to anoint him king. The second qualification they have recognized, verse 2, in the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. While Saul was still king, David was the commander of the army. Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000s, the women sang. They recognized the gifts of God in David. They recognize that David is the one who led their military campaigns, who led their people to military victory. They recognize that God has gifted him in this way to be their protector, to be their deliverer from their enemies. And so, while admitting that Saul was still king, they recognize David's gifts in leading them in and out of battle. Finally, the third qualification. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. David's third qualification is, God has said it. God has declared that David will be the king. God has declared that David will shepherd his people Israel. God has declared that David will be their ruler. And when they recognize this in David, they are admitting what was wrong about Saul. When Saul was anointed king, they wanted a king that would be like all the other nations. But the Lord has given them David as a shepherd king. David, the shepherd boy who took care of his sheep. David, the shepherd boy who, as shepherd on behalf of his father, the owner, protected those sheep, led those sheep, guided those sheep, delivered them from wolves or animals that tried to harm them. David, who went after the one sheep, who left the 99 to protect that one sheep from harm or from an enemy or from an animal. David is now the shepherd of Israel. They recognize that God has made David this shepherd, that as shepherd of Israel, he will protect them, he will deliver them, he will guide them, he will be God's shepherd in their midst to protect and to lead Israel. You see, the children of Israel who have just completed this cycle of King Saul have recognized what was wrong with Saul. Saul was a king after their own hearts. He was a king like all the other military or all the other nations around. He was a king who sought to bring about military victory. He was a king who sought out his own interests and not theirs. But in David, they see a man who is their own flesh and blood, who God has gifted, and they recognize a man who will lead as a shepherd of God's people that God has given them. And so the elders of Israel now, not just the tribes, verse 1, but verse 3 tells us that the elders of Israel now come to King David at Hebron. And at the end of the verse, we read that they anointed David king over Israel. But notice what takes place in the middle of that verse. The king made a covenant, should be the wording. The NIV has compact, but it should be covenant. The king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. Did they come forward as the elders of Israel and make David king? Can anyone take credit and say, we made David king? Instead, the wording of our text is that David initiated this covenant at Hebron, and he did it before the Lord. We have just completed a cycle of stories which described people that tried to be king makers. Abner made Ishbosheth king. Abner led a war against David for the house of Saul. Abner has a conflict with Ishbosheth and he defects and is going to make David king. Abner dies at the hands of Joab, and the two men of Ishbosheth kill Ishbosheth so that David will be king. All through this cycle of stories, men have wanted to take credit for helping David to be the king of Israel. But none of those men are left. The only one left is Joab, and David publicly rebuked Joab at the end of chapter 3 for killing Abner. Joab can take no credit. The elders of Israel can take no credit. Because we read in the middle that when the elders of Israel had recognized David's gift and they came to him at Hebron, they anointed him king, but only after David initiated the covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. David is the one who initiates this covenant because David is the one who understands what kind of a king he will be. The other nations had kings. The other nations had kings that would look out for their own interests. Israel had a king like that in King Saul. But David is going to be a shepherd king. And do you see the connection between chapter 2, what we read for our text, and chapter 5? When David is told about the men of Jabesh-Gilead in chapter 2, that they had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him." The word for kindness is the covenant word, hesed, covenant kindness. Saul had rescued the men of Jabesh from death. When Saul dies, the men of Jabesh, though dead, stick by Saul and take his body and bury him. In life and in death, they showed covenant kindness to Saul. And David promises in chapter 2, verse 6, "May the Lord now show you hesed and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this." As a covenant king, David understands what that means. What that means is not that they are there for me to serve me. As a covenant king, David will show them the covenant kindness of God The Lord will show you kindness and faithfulness. How? Through me. David, when he stands before the elders of Israel and they come forward to anoint him king, he initiates this covenant before the Lord. He is going to demonstrate God's covenant kindness to them. He is their shepherd. He is their ruler. They are not there for his benefit. God has put them under his care for God's benefit and for God's glory. David did not make himself king. When he had opportunity to kill Saul, he did not do it. When he had opportunity to kill Ish-bosheth, he did not do it. David stood on the sidelines, waiting and trusting in God's plan, in God's timing. And now that the elders of Israel have recognized it's David's time, David doesn't champion his cause or what he has accomplished. He initiates a covenant, demonstrating that he will show on behalf of God the covenant kindness of a shepherd to his sheep for his people. In 2 Samuel 5, we have come to a point that has been building for a long, long time. David finally is king over all of Israel, all of the tribes. And we read in verse 4 and 5 a summary of David's reign. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. 30 years old when David becomes king, 40 years he reigned. 30 plus 40 is 70, 7 tens, 7 perfections. This is the king that Israel has been waiting for. This is the king after God's own heart. This is the king who will continue to rule on his throne longer than any other king before him. This is the king that God has chosen and given Israel, the king long ago promised for God's people. But even as we read these verses, we can tell that this is not God's final king for his people. For David lives for 30 years. He becomes king for 40 years. But David is not an eternal king. David is going to be the shepherd king of Israel. But even David will sin and use a member of his flock for his own purpose and not God's. As great as David is, as careful as this passage describes him and his qualifications, these verses cry out for a greater king. This is not a king that you should desire. Yes, we see in David these qualifications, but David is not the final king. For God has a plan to send a much greater king. A king for you that is eternal. A king which is not temporary. A king which meets these same qualifications. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read this concerning our Savior. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, the Israelites recognized in David he had to be a king of their own flesh and blood to be king. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Your enemy is death. As God's people, you know that the wages of sin is death. As a sinner, the wage of your sin is to die. God's Son has answered that. God has gifted him with military victory. God sent his own Son of the same flesh and blood, who shared in your humanity, who shared in your temptations and struggles, to go off and to take on the kingdom of darkness. He went into that wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights during the time of temptation, and he did not sin. All of his life, he was tempted to turn away from God, but he trusted in God and in God's plan. God's plan led him to the cross, where he went into the grave and came out of the grave, defeating your enemy in victory. The qualifications that fit David's description of King of Israel are the same qualifications that God has given us in the description of our Savior. He was a king that was like us in flesh and blood. He was a king who demonstrated his gifts and his power to overcome in their military campaigns in the battle against sin and death. Hebrews 2:16, "For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus has gone ahead of you. He has qualified as your king for what he has accomplished in his victories. And God has announced and declared him to be your shepherd king. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples this, John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is not a king out for his own interests, out for his own good, who uses the sheep for his own purpose as a hired hand who sees the wolf come and runs away. But one of the qualifications of being a king, of being your king, is that he would be your good shepherd, that he would lay down his life for you, and that his love and care for you as that shepherd would be expressed in your life, in how he lives for you, how he cares for you, how he watches over you, how he strengthens you during temptation, how he saved you from sin, how he leads you on behalf of the Father for his glory evermore. And nowhere in the New Testament will you find a list of the years that Jesus lived before he became king, and then a list of how long he reigned. For his reign is eternal. His qualifications are eternal. He does not sin and turn from his people or on his own flock. For he is faithful forever to serve you, to serve God, to bring you to his eternal kingdom, to be with him for all glory. 2 Samuel 5 is the conclusion of a larger section It is the passage that we have been building towards and waiting for many, many chapters, for many, many months. It is the sign that God's King is finally on the throne. When Jesus Christ came to earth, it was something the world had been waiting for a long, long time. And his kingdom, which he rules from heaven, is forever. And he has initiated that covenant. Can any of you come forward and say, Jesus is the one, and I chose him. I saved myself. I did it. I made him king. All the elders of Israel come to David at Hebron and they anoint David king. But David initiated the covenant with them before the Lord. Your Savior is the one who chose you. Your Savior is the one who initiated that covenant in his death. Your Savior is the one who has brought you salvation through that covenant, so that your sins are forgiven, so that you belong to him, so that you serve him forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for these words from 2 Samuel 5. We're thankful, Lord, how they show the qualifications of King David. And yet we see in them the qualifications of our King, King Jesus. We thank you that he came to earth and was like us in our flesh and blood. We're thankful that he has conquered sin and death on our behalf and given us victory. We're thankful that he serves as our shepherd king in heaven, that we can know that he protects us and guides us and has saved us and will never turn for us, but will always seek for our own best interests. And we're thankful that it's not us who have made him king, but that he has initiated the covenant with us on behalf of the Father. He has chosen us. He has made us his. He has paid the price so that we may know him forever. Help us to know and to live this truth. Help us, Lord, to appreciate him and what he has accomplished for us each and every day. Help us to remember his victory when we're faced with temptations and trials. Help us to know in the deepest struggles that our Savior is with us, that he is shepherding us, that when we wait on him, he will bring us to all eternity and glory forever. Grant us your grace, grant us your peace. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.